The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
All right, you're very welcome along to a bonus element of our Football Pod member show this week. And I'm thrilled to be joined by Anton Toole. Anton, how are you keeping?
What's it bad, Tommy? No, happy to be here, as usual.
There's a lot to talk about. It's a big weekend of football and you've been busy yourself. Before we get to the football, I believe congratulations are in order. You graduated as a doctor in recent weeks.
Yes, 29th of June there, and the graduation ceremony, and just tied off the degree of medicine up at Queen's in Belfast here. So it's been great, I suppose, to kind of see it through to its conclusion and look forward to what the future really holds in terms of working as a doctor and whatever in the job has to offer.
That's some going, man. I'm sure the family were incredibly proud of you that day to get through it. You must be proud of yourself too. It takes a lot of effort to get through that too.
I suppose it's kind of, my family, we had it a wee bit different because I took my time out to go to Australia. I ended up in the same year of university as my younger sister. So we both graduated as doctors on the same day.
That's incredible.
So it's a big old day for the family now. So everybody was happy now with that one. It was a great occasion. So it was.
That's brilliant. So it was always in the back of the head?
Medicine?
Yeah.
Oh, no, medicine would have been probably front of the head for me, Tommy. You know, it was always something that I had intended on doing for a long time before I even went to Australia. And I got at my place in 2018 and I deferred it for 3 years while I was over there playing. And I applied for a forced deferral to try and take up the other contract that was offered at Collingwood. But I had to end up picking between the medicine and the football. And I think the career of medicine eventually won out. I think that it's something I'll be able to do for the rest of my time, and I've always been very passionate about. So I'm very fortunate to have got through it all and look forward to what it has to offer as a career now.
What a brilliant journey to go on to even get to there, you know, because you have to empty yourself into medicine, you know, to be able to qualify as a first of all. And then once you're in it, sure, I can only imagine how intense it's going to be. When are you starting?
The degree itself, Tommy, it's the hardest part's getting in. The application to part place ratio is quite high in medicine compared to other university degrees, and it's quite a stringent application process between aptitude tests and interviews and things like that. So that's why I was very, very keen to hold on to the place whenever I had it. And then the university are very good at supporting you the whole way through your degree, and I've been very, very fortunate to have got really good support from my lecturers through it as well to make sure that even while trying to balance playing the football at times, that I was able to get the best out of myself in the university sense as well.
That's brilliant to hear. And very best of luck with it. I know you'll be starting soon enough, doing the rounds and getting the hours.
5th of August. 5th of August, yeah. The 5th of August, I start. Got 4 months in cardiology to begin with over in the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast, and then move into general surgery after that. So it'll be a big change from student life, but I'm looking forward to it as well. Just kind of getting on with everything you've kind of trained to do and just trying to learn as much as you can along the way too.
That's brilliant. We're catching up today to talk about a couple of things. You're with us because of World GAA Games. Brittany Ferries are one of the sponsors and they're supporting the World GAA Games and helping it happen. It's in Waterford coming up this coming weekend, if I'm not mistaken, and there's a huge interest in it. You spent a bit of time in Spain over the last little while.
I've been fortunate enough over the past, so was it 8 weeks from the end of April to the end of June, I was fortunate enough to be travelling around Iberia, so both Spain and Portugal. Was kind of an ambassadorial role for Gaelic Games Europe, and was able to reach an amazing swathe of different people across schools, clubs, adult teams, junior teams, and had a serious experience seeing what Gaelic Games is like in a different country in Europe. So it was amazing experience altogether, and we could probably learn an awful lot from how things are done over there as well.
What did you pick up? Because I have a brother who would have won a junior championship medal with me in Mead Hill back in the day, and he's living in Valencia and playing with a team just outside of Valencia in the last couple of months. So he loves that element of it, and he's not like me. He's not as obsessive about football as I would be, but the actual the training and the social element of it, he loves that. So how did you find those clubs? What do you think we could learn?
Well, I think the sense of community that those clubs have over there, whether that be specifically the clubs in the big cities, or whether that be the clubs in some of the smaller areas where you just wouldn't have as much Irish people, how much they all look out for each other, care for each other off the pitch, how social they are with how they interact with each other is something that we've probably lost sight of an awful lot here with the GAA, especially at local level. And I think that we probably lose a lot of GAA people, or people that could be more involved in the GAA, because things are not necessarily taken too seriously, Tommy, but people aren't given the opportunity to be involved if they don't conform to a certain, way of behaving a lot of the time. Like I was fortunate enough to stay with a fella in Marbella. He's a guy called Justin Parks. His father was a detective chief inspector in the Royal Ulster Constabulary up here. So you would not have too many people who have came from the background of Justin Parks involved in Gaelic games in Derry. And being from Coleraine and growing up where he did, and couldn't have an IRA planting a bomb in his house and things like that. Just like he's been involved in GAA for 20 odd years down in Marbella, and is a real, I suppose, the kind of man you would never get involved in Gaelic games if he was still at home. And we're kind of seeing people like that there, and seeing how much the game gives to them from a community standpoint. It's something that I was so impressed with from an Irish kind of diaspora end of things. The Galicians, especially up in the northwest of Spain, which is a kind of region where totally Spanish people are playing, they are just an unbelievable different kettle of fish altogether in terms of how they got into the game and just how big it is over there. So it's a few really good stories to tell.
That's incredible. And just even the story you mentioned about Justin Parks there, has that changed? Has that, and I know you're not just speaking about one element of the GAA there as well, or one element of Irish society, but has that aspect of our games at all, can you see that changing, or what do you think needs to change for us to improve on that front?
Well, I suppose I was over there, and I coached Gaelic football in the British School of Marbella, the British School of Lisbon, and the British School of or British College of Gava, just outside Barcelona. And I carried a bag of size 5 McKeever footballs past the Union Jack on the way in the school, and I thought to myself that we're on a real good thing here, because Gaelic football fundamentally is a sport for everybody, and I think Iberia shows that and showcases that way more than we do here at home. Like I live in Belfast here at the moment, and I'm a stone's throw away from a school called Methodist College Belfast, and the kids in that school have no exposure to Gaelic games. And I think that we're making our way toward having a really inclusive society here in Ireland, and in the future things will hopefully be that everybody will get the opportunity to play Gaelic games, no matter where they come from or what their community is. But I think that we've got a bit of a way to go to catch up on some of our European counterparts. First,
That's fascinating. And just to even get a glimpse of that, it sounds like you really appreciated the time you spent as an ambassador, in Europe.
Oh man, unbelievable. No, you get to see such a broad spectrum of people that represent what Gaelic games are, I suppose. And whether that be the local people that are involved, or whether that be some of the Irish people, I've got some memories now that I'll be able to take with me for a long, long time because of the hospitality that was shown, the kindness that was shown to me. It was phenomenal.
Sounds special, Anton. And it's going to be a fabulous weekend as well. Are you backing any side in particular to take home the trophy of the World GAA Games? Because it's obviously happening in the midst of a crazy packed schedule of the Intercounty Championships. There's Junior All-Ireland Finals, there's Camogie All-Ireland Finals on the way, Attaché Cup Final, All-Ireland Senior Hurling and Football Semi-Finals, the Ladies Football Championship, and the World GAA Games are right bang smack in the middle of it.
Oh, it's right in the middle of everything at the moment. From what I've seen of the teams over there, so Catalunya are going to send a team, Galicia are sending a team as well from over there, and Iberia will send a team as well. If I had to back one side in particular, I'd probably be backing the Australians. The Aussies,
Wow.
from I haven't actually seen them play or in the gap, but I was chatting to their head coach there for a little bit, a guy called Val Ward from Meath, who was over in Adelaide for a long time. And I think that the way the level of interest that they've taken into it, and the opportunity to represent their country in the game, the Aussies are really loved. And obviously there's a lot of transferable skills between Australian rules football and a lot of those guys that are growing up playing in Gaelic. So yeah, I think that those guys will be particularly strong. I think the Galician national team are very, very good. They've come on and like for a state that's really only been playing Gaelic games for the past 15, 20 odd years, the standard of football there is amazing. And you've got kids that are playing senior football now that are, have been coached since they were 6. And it's amazing to see. And I think that's the kind of tournament they're going to be trying to strive to win in the future. But I would say that the Aussies are probably going to be pushing it this year. The Galicians, the Aussies, and the French are all going to be quite strong, but I'd say the Aussies are probably going.
I'm delighted we're having this conversation this week. On the weekend, where there's going to be two sellouts in Croke Park between Louth and Mayo, Down and Wicklow and Kerry and Dublin on Sunday. We're talking about a Galician GA team, an Australian team. There's going to be French teams, Italian teams. It's incredible, really, and it's something well worth digging into again. Brittany Ferries are supporting the World GA Games, and there's going to be plenty of supporters travelling over from France and Spain to Ireland this weekend as well. So really interesting, Anton, hearing all of that. If I'm not mistaken, we last caught up on the 14th of June last summer in
Correct.
Uri. I was actually chatting to an old mucker of yours, Mickey Quinn, Longford great. He was on analysis duty, and I managed to wrangle you into a post-match chat. And it was just after Derry's summer had ended to Dublin. Why weren't you there this year?
I was contacted by Kieran Mina, who was taking the team this year, and just was made aware that I wasn't part of his plans for the year coming forward. So probably around late September, early October last year when I received that phone call. And if it was up to me, it wouldn't have been the case this year, Tommy, to be honest. It's something that I would have loved to have been able to be part of, even though it wasn't probably the most successful year or what everybody was hoping for from a Derry football standpoint. You know, you still, any opportunity that you would get to represent your county, you'd have to be taking that opportunity. And unfortunately, that wasn't something that I was involved in the decision making of this year, you know.
And is that a forever thing for you? Because you're 26 years old, you know?
I suppose whenever now that I've finished the degree now and I'll be starting work, it's the decisions have to be taken a lot more seriously whenever there's a lot of other things to impact, like Gaelic football with its amateur status the way it is. For me to be taking time out of my job and pushing things off and making it difficult for my colleagues in work as well, I think that it's a decision that would take a lot more gravity. I have to make a lot more decisions on. But if it's something that ever crossed my plate, that I'd never be saying no to it outright. It's something that I would have to consider and try and make work to an extent, Tommy.
Because look, let's take it in terms of raw materials. You have the size, you have the football. I can picture you. I can't remember exactly what date it was, but an early 26 striking freeze off the deck for Queens and Sigerson football this year for two pointers as well. There's a grow for the game too, Anton. Like there's a grow embedded in you, I'm sure, from being a kid and growing up with your dad and your family as well, heavily involved.
Sport, Tommy, has given me an awful lot in my life. There's so many opportunities in my life through sport. Will that be getting the opportunity to go out and play professionally in Australia? Will that be coming home and getting to represent my university and being part of the committees of the football back there? Gaelic Games has given me opportunities to travel to Spain this year with Gaelic Games Europe, and I've loved every experience I've had with sport. I would never be one to shy away from the competitive nature of it either, and love the opportunity to try and probably display what talents I do have, you know. And it'd be a big thing certainly for me to say no, I have no interest in it, because it would just be a lie at the end of the day. And I think that for me going forward, it's not really in my hands, so it's up to somebody else, you know. And that's the long and the short.
Yeah, well, I think, look, Derry football has been in a funny place for the last couple of seasons, and it'd be great to see them back dining where they were, and great to see you back with them at some stage too. So we'll see what happens down the line. It'd be some shame if you weren't playing with Derry again, Anton. I'd say that one on the record. So hopefully that all gets ironed out in the wash. Have you been able to watch the football championship this year, or have you taken a step back
Yes.
from it?
Well, no, I've been over in Spain there with my GAA Plus account, tuning in as much as I could. Just to obviously keep an eye on the sport. I think it's developing so well. I think the new rules have had such a positive impact, and they're kind of in their second championship of them. You can really see the sides who have been able to not necessarily master them, but who've been able to really get to grips with them. Like you look at how well Gavin Devlin's done with Louth. You look how well Andy Moran and Paddy Talley are doing with Mayo as well, in terms of how they've figured out what they can do with the rules and play to their own strengths. And I think that we've got some really exciting football side and some really exciting talents as well to watch. I've loved watching some of the boys doing their thing this year.
Where are you on the Mayo Loud game? Because I'm flip-flopping all week. I'm struggling on it. It's such an amazing opportunity for both of those counties.
Yeah, okay. The Louth semi-final performance was phenomenal to do it
The
with a man down for.
quarter final, yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, unbelievable. But even like you look at the Louth performance against Armagh and Aisquín, like that was incredible too. Like they've put in some real heartfelt performances. They were playing for each other. And then you look at the other side of the coin, you've got some serious talent on that Mayo side as well. And I love what, like I say, what Andy and Paddy have been able to do. Great to see Paddy coaching at such a high level again this year. I'm torn myself because at any side that wins that, it'll be deserving winners of it on the day, and hopefully we can just enjoy the game for what it is.
Absolutely. And I'd say we will. And Sunday will be, I think, a different type of madness between Dublin and Kerry. We know the history between those two. Can I ask you about Kobe and his future beyond the next couple of weekends? He's obviously off to Australia, Kobe McDonald. You were a young man when you went over yourself. And is like I get the sense of a bit of collegiality between maybe some of the ex-AFL players. Some of you might still be in touch with each other. Maybe not all, but there might be a connection there with some of you. What's the words of encouragement to Kobe, or what's the feeling on where he's going with this?
Oh, delighted for him. Like some of my best friends in the world have came through Australian rules football. Whether that be the Aussies or whether that be the Irish fellas that are over there, they provided such a good sounding board to me whenever I was a young fellow over there. Kobe's got great role models to look up to in the AFL from an Irish point of view, who are still actively playing at the moment between Mark and Oisin down in Geelong, Conor Nash at Hawthorn, Conor McKenna's playing great football for the Brisbane Lions at the moment, Mark Keane in Adelaide. You can go on of all like Tara Joyce played a lot of good football this year. Some really, really, really good fellas out there. For me, like people can go on about, whether he stays or whether he goes. Like, until there's an element of at least some sort of, not necessarily professionalism, Tommy, but like a percentage share of the game has to start going to the players. Like, and I'm not saying that that's something that needs to happen tomorrow, but if you look at the teams that have won All Ireland's county teams I've been involved in compared to my father, like 100% of the boys in the Derry panel are tertiary educated. Whenever my father won All Ireland with Derry in 1983, that was really not the case. There was a few boys who'd gone to uni, but you have boys who are able to balance county football more. And I really feel that football and hurling are going to be losing talents to boys that want to play club football because they can't make it work with their job. And until there's some element of the like there's different numbers quoted as to what the GAA makes. If you take in the county boards, provincial councils, GAA, 250 million euro a year. You're telling me that we can only get a small percentage of that? There's a fella last year who's very, very young playing under county football who was working full time because the county was unable to get him a job that was not manual labour. He was pulling fibre optic cable and he had to go to training and get massages on his arms to try and get himself through training sessions. And I just see that in the future, more of those boys are going to be lost to inter-county football because they're having to sacrifice years of their life to get an education, which they might not be able to afford through at university, to get a 9-to-5 job, which pays them enough to play inter-county football. And I think that we're kind of reaching a tipping point where Gaelic football is, it's not, especially at the elite level, is probably not at the working man's game for everybody in Ireland anymore as it would have been. And I think that there needs something needs to change, and it's Kobe McDonald is getting an opportunity which I've been very fortunate to have, and something that I'll hold with me for the rest of my days. But any young man who gets the opportunity to go and play sport professionally, it's an opportunity which you'll never ever be able to turn down. Like,
It is the dream though when you're a kid to be able to play sport professionally. And I know people say nobody dreams of playing in Australia, but that's not the
I
point
did,
of it. Did you?
I did. Like my dad went over and played. And all I
Yeah.
ever wanted to be with my dad.
Really?
That's all I. Oh, geez, I. And then you go to school and like Chrissy McCaig, who went to the Sydney Swans, and Conor Glass, and everybody looked up to whenever you were at St. Pat's Maharaa was away as a six. Whenever I was 16 as well, and you have role models in front of you who want to do it. I love the game. Like I always had admiration for the game, but it's something that I genuinely look forward to maybe potentially doing it at one stage in my life.
That's
So very,
class.
very fortunate to be able to make that dream a reality. And I know that's not the case for everybody. I know that the dream to play county football is massive too. But to get to have your job, to get is to make your body and mind in the best condition possible to compete, it's an unbelievable privilege. And I think that any man is gonna be mad keen for that opportunity. Like,
I don't know what the answer is, but I'm with you on that we're near the tipping point. I think there will be a tipping point at some stage. When we look at cost of living, we look at the amount of effort required. And I think you even look at the season itself. Like I felt the likes of Donegal and Armagh look physically and mentally spent. Now, obviously, the week-on-week structure can have an impact there. But, I was at the Limerick All-Ireland final press day today, 2 days on from their Titanic semi-final clash with Clare. I don't know how those boys have recovered and are ready to go training again this week when they're doing work as well. I think we are sleepwalking a little bit in terms of what's been asked of players.
but even 100%, like Tommy, you were mentioning earlier on about what has to change regarding kind of involvement of maybe more people from a Protestant Unionist background in Orton Gaelic games. Like, you look at the city of Belfast, you look at the city of Derry. Those are two cities with massive, massive Catholic populations, which Belfast City maybe a bit different, but Derry certainly aren't necessarily the stronghold of GAA that you would see in a lot of the cities in the south of the border. Kids up here looking to play soccer, they're looking to play professional sport, and we're losing kids who would rather go and say, even if I don't make it full time soccer, I can play semi professionally, get a bit of money in the bank, and things like that. And you're we're sleepwalking into losing more and more people. And I think that, like, we get a championship payment every year of X amount
Of
in
a
championship
grant,
payment.
like a grant
Ah,
for it. Yeah.
it's a grant, and I think that if you had a bit more of a distribution share of the income of the GAA to the playing group, and not necessarily it's full professional, Tommy,
I
but if you're
get you.
saying, right,
I
look, there's
get
going to
you.
be an extra, I don't know what the answer is myself, but I just see that the AFL is 28% of the income of the sport going to the players. And I'm looking at the money the GAA is bringing in. It's not the same as the AFL, but the money that's going back to the players isn't the same either.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a full professional thing, and people get mad thinking, oh, we're going to change counties and transfer things again. That doesn't have to be the case. Just have to find a better way to dole up the money. And I
You
think
can,
we retain players more like that,
yeah, no, it's a really interesting conversation with a load of different strands that we probably need a little bit more time to get into. But the GAA will always say of every euro they earn, 83 cent goes back into clubs and facilities and the upkeep and all that sort of stuff. But there has been interesting developments in terms of the imaging li and likeness rights that we've seen the GPA negotiate in recent years. So it'll be very interesting to see what road that brings us down. Anton, I've training to get to tonight, and you've got a gym session to get to, and you've got
I'm assuming you're in.
a bit of housework to do as well. But before I let you go, just the football pod at the minute, Movember, we've been working with Movember for the last little while ahead of the game, and some of the incredible day work that they do across clubs, and we're actually doing a little bit of work with them at Croke Park with Paddy Anders and James O'Donoghue this coming weekend. They reach over 16,500 players, parents, and coaches across Irish clubs with the tools to look after our mental health. You can check it all out in the head of the game.movember.com. This is a crew that you've done a bit of work with too. What have you seen with Movember?
I've been fortunate enough to be involved in the Ahead of the Game program since its inception in Ireland. So I was one of the first facilitators in 2023, and I've been doing it since every year while I've been through uni, and I will continue to do it as a doctor as well. It's such a brilliant program that has it not necessarily it's an educational thing, but it's where you're trying to make people aware of some of the things that we can do a lot better in terms of promoting a bit of mental health literacy and trying to, improve people's knowledge of how to have conversations that might be challenging with themselves and with other people that they care about. It's an amazing program, and I feel the impact of it every single time I go out and deliver a session. It's a privilege to be part of. Honestly, it's the best, one of the best things I've ever been part of.
So essentially, the premise is trying to use sport to improve, as you said, the way people think or act around mental health, and maybe even educate ourselves. So just give me it in a practical sense. Like, what are you seeing when you go out and you engage with people on this?
So we would have a session for whatever underage team it is. So it could be the under-16 camogie team, the under-18 boys football team. We would go out and we would do a session with 25, or however many people turn up, really, Tommy, and young people, and we talk a wee bit about what mental health is and how it links to kind of physical health and physical fitness. A couple of examples of what things can happen whenever we're not really fully in control of our own emotions and we might slip into a wee bit of mental ill health. How we can then recognize those signs and symptoms in ourselves and our loved ones, and then how we have conversations with each other whenever things are difficult to try and bring and allow people to talk through what they're feeling. It's honestly, the kids are so well educated on it now, but as people of my generation and older that
And
we never
mine.
really were educated on that, on exactly, that have never really been educated on things to get before.
Yeah.
So I find that doing the sessions with the parents and coaches are really, really enlightening. Like they're scheduled for an hour, but they often go over because the community sense of things, everybody gets the opportunity to talk and talk about things they might have learned themselves around mental health or how. Ask questions and kind of how they can develop that wee bit of mental fitness around their home. So it's a great program. You can learn a wee bit more about it as well on learning.gea.ie. I was fortunate enough to be down at Croke Park yesterday for the launch of Phase 4 with Kevin McManaman and Declan Hannan, Leah
Fantastic.
Caffrey and Martin
Martin.
Stackpole as well. So we had a great launch there yesterday, and that's a it's a positive direction that we're heading in with it, and hopefully we continue to make an impact, I suppose.
For sure, because it touches every parish, every family, every person at some stage in their lives. It's and I think we've gone beyond maybe the phase we were in where we needed people to talk about it, that perhaps now this is a step towards action and maybe equipping people with an ability to be able to maybe act if somebody says something to you, or finally to, act yourself.
Well, that's my hope too, Tommy. Like a lot of it can even be around, like whenever you're mentally healthy, if we can have conversations about how we feel whenever things are good, it makes it so much easier to have conversations about things whenever they're bad. If we can bring in a wee bit of talk about how we're getting on with stuff whenever we're enjoying it and using adjectives to describe how we feel, it becomes a lot easier for young people to see that in their parents and coaches to then they can recognize that, oh, I'm excited by this also, or I'm terrified of this happening, or and people using words to describe how they feel and how that can then elevate things and make it easier to deal with these issues whenever they're a lot smaller than whenever things get to snowball and things get serious, you know.
For sure. And Don, look, I think there's a couple of things in this conversation we could pick up again and we'll have a deeper chat another time. Really appreciate your time. I've two very quick ones for you. Put your neck on the chopping block for me. How do you see Saturday and Sunday going?
Kerry are obviously Kerry are a great side. They have a lot of boys coming back in now who have a lot of championship experience, and I love the football that they're playing. But Dublin in the past few years have really had their number in championship football. I personally see Kerry having too much for them on the day, and I would see it going that way. The Louth Mayo one, I'm not 100% sure on. Personally, I can see it going either way. There's pros and cons each way. If you ask me to put my head in the block, I'd probably say Mayo will just have the edge on the day, but it'll be really, really tight, and I could
That's
see
it.
it really going either way.
Very interesting. A very final one. And I'm only looking for a sense because we don't hear from him too often. But what does your dad, Anthony Toole, make of the new game?
Dad enjoys it. Dad really, he feels that it's improved the game a lot. We're down. I was home there for my first weekend back. Whenever watched all the Throne game and all together, and my dad still very engaged in the game, and probably would love to have seen these rules before and things like that. But no, he's a fan. He's a fan of what's going on,
Great to hear
for
it.
sure.
Listen, you keep up the great work. Have a great summer. Well done on the work with the World GAA Games and your graduation alongside your sister as a doctor. And enjoy the football this weekend. Anton Toole, thanks for your
Thanks,
time.
Tommy.
We'll talk to you soon.
Chat in tonight.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.